Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Nun Zayin, and we are 18 lines from the bottom of daf Nun Vav Amid Beis Boi Rav. Today's daf is being learned as a schus for Achenu B'nei Yisrael and the Sunna B'tzar V'Shiv. So we're moving along here in Perek Hazav, discussing the halachos of Oina. So again, what's the kitzur Shulchan Aruch of Oina? If somebody sells something to somebody, or if somebody buys something from somebody, same difference, and the meicher fooled the lekech, or lekech fooled the meicher, so that the price that was agreed upon is not the real price. So the halach is as follows. In the event that the discrepancy is pachis mishtos, it's less than 1/6 of what the real value is, meaning either the buyer overpaid by less than 1/6, or the seller undercharged by less than 1/6, then the halach is, there's an implied mechila, and it has no impact from a Choshen Mishpat perspective. If the discrepancy was exactly 1/6, then the halach is that the mekach is kayim, but at the same time, there's an obligation now to make whole that 1/6 discrepancy. So if the meicher got an extra 6, he has to return it. If the lekeach gave a 6 less than he was supposed to give, he has to give it. In the event that the discrepancy was more than 1/6, then we say that the mekach is batel. We view it as a mekach tois, and the entire transaction is betelim umuvutalim. It gets completely unwound. The Mishnah on Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph said, Elu dvarim she'ein lehem oina. The following are a list of things that are not subject to the laws of oina. Namely, ha'avodim, v'hashtarois, v'ha'karkois, v'ha'hekdeshois. So avodim, as in an Eved Kanani or a Shivcha Kananis, a shtar, a karka, or hektish, in the event that there was a transaction that involved any of the aforementioned, and there was a oina component, says the Mishnah, the laws of oina are not going to apply. Now, one of the things that the Gemara is going to discuss in today's daf, when we say ein lahem oina, does that mean that none of the laws of oina apply? Does it mean maybe that some of the laws of oina, meaning the kitzur shulchan aruch, forget about the shulchan aruch, the kitzur shulchan aruch of oina is made up of three different components, pachis mishtos, shtos, and yesa mishtos. So when we say that these things don't have the laws of oina, what exactly does it mean? That and much more will be discussed in today's daf. But the Gemara begins with an ibaya that Rava had. Boy, Rava, chitin v'zorim b'karka. If somebody has chitin, he took the chitin and he planted them in the ground, meaning he placed them in the karka. Mahu, what's the halacha? Meaning, yesh lamayna, ein lamayna. Are they subject to the laws of oina, or are they not subject to the laws of oina? What's the shayla? Keman d'shadion b'kado damyon v'yesh lamayna. Do we say that the mekach u'memkar involved chitin? Chitin is metaltalin. Metaltalin is always subject to the laws of oina. The fact that right now it's physically in the ground is no different than if it was sitting in a kad, if it was sitting in a container. Being that chitin in a kad would be subject to oina, so chitin in the ground should also be subject to oina. Oidum, or maybe, batlinu algava ara. Maybe, being that it's in the ground, we look at it as if it's bottled to the ground. And just like ein oina lekarkois, so too there's going to be no oina as it relates to this chitin eater. Now Rashi speaks out that that's pasha we're talking about, where the chitin that was planted was not hushrash yet, meaning it didn't take root. Once it takes root, then already we view that as an important milestone in the agriculture of this wheat, and for sure we would look at it as being part of the ground, and for sure wouldn't be subject to the laws of Eina. The question is, where the chitin was put in the ground, obviously at some point it's going to take root, but it didn't happen yet. Right now, do we view it as chitin, thus it's subject to the laws of Eina, or do we view it as karka, and it will not be subject to the laws of Eina? But the Gemara clarifies the shayla. Hechidami, ilei meda amar iyu shadoi boshiso, is the case where the Meicher told the Lekeach that I sold you 6 of these chitin, and I put the 6 chitin in the ground. V'asu sahadi, and then Edom came, v'amri, and they said, that it wasn't 6, it was 5. Hence, this oina. But the Gemara says, v'amar Rava said, kol davar shebemida, v'shebemishkol, v'shebeminyan. Anytime you have a oina, where there was some sort of lack of erlichkeit in a transaction. But the thing that was sold was something that could be measured, something that could be weighed, or something that could be counted. So the halach is, afilu pachas mikdei ano, chayzer. Then, even if it was less than a shtos, even if it's less than the regular shir ano, the halach is, it's always going to be chayzer. And this is something that's going to repeat itself again in the daf. And that is that the only time we say that the laws of ano apply, the unique laws of ano, is when it's something that was a little fuzzy. Meaning, the meicher, the lekeach, was not 100% clear what was going on over here. It turns out that there was Aina, enters the whole sugya of Aina. But to the extent that it was something that could have very easily been verified. Meaning, I'm selling you six, it was five. I'm selling you six, and it was seven. So if it's a davar shebe mid, davar shebe mishkal, right, I'm selling you 10 ounces, it turns out it's 20 ounces. Anything like that, so the halach is you're always chayzer. And we view any discrepancy as being a mekachtos that's completely removed from the laws of Aina, and the halach is it's always going to be chayzer. So the Gemara says that if this is the shayla over here of chitin v'zarim bekarka, where the shayla was it six chitin or was it five chitin, then there's no sugya of Aina. It's really subject to the law of mekach tois, and if that's the case, it would apply even by karka. So there's no shayla. Meaning this halacha, and again, this is a very important point, that ein Aina the karkois is when you're learning the sugya of Aina per se. Ein Aina l'karkois doesn't mean that there's no such thing as fraud when it comes to Aina. What it means is that the laws of Aina don't apply to karka. But to the extent that it's a davar shebe midah v'shebe mishkal shebe minyan, where the halachas afilu pachas mikdei Aina chayzer zoysei meris, it's not subject to the shulchan aruch of Aina. It's pashut it would relate to karka just as it relates to metalton. If that's the case, then there's no shayla. Ella, you have to say the amar yush doy baki di iboyle. What happened was it was a moicher and a lekeach, and they made up that the moicher is going to sell the lekeach the mount of chitin that you would need in order for this parcel of land to grow. Meaning, I put in kedibay what you need. And it turned out it wasn't kedibay. So it's not like they made up a certain midah, a certain mishkal, a certain minyan. They were talking in very, very great terms. And it turned out it was aina. What's the shayli? Yesh lam aina? Oy ain lam aina? And since feitamal, kamad the shadi bekad adami ve'esh lam aina? Do we say that it's as if it's in a kad? The fact that it's in the ground is neither here nor there. As a result, it's regular chitin that's subject to the laws of Aina. We look at it as if it's bottled to the ground. Rava continued, and Rava asked additional shailas that are all me'inyan le'inyan ba'isinyan. So this is a digression, but really it's the same exact shaila. Said Rava, what would be if somebody took chitin, he put it in the ground, nishba na'le'it, and now all of a sudden there's a situation based on the chayshah mishpat where someone has to swear. Would there be a shvua or a nishpa an alein? What's the shayla? The command, the shadi bekad adami v'nishpa an alein. Do we say that it's as if it's in a kad? This is regular chitin, chayshah mishpat, tayim v'nitin. Sometimes you have to swear shvua deiraisa. Oidoma batlinu agavara. Maybe being that it's in the ground, we look at it as if it's bottled to the ground. A nishpa an alein, because we know the rule is a nishpa an alakarkois. So said Rabbi, the same exact shayla that I have regarding Aina, do I look at it as being bottled to the ground? Thus, ein lamai. No, I have regarding shvu as well. Do I look at it as being bottled to the ground, and as a result, ein nishpan ala karkois, or maybe it's keman the shadi bekad adamim? Now, Rashi says, what was the case of nishpan aleim by ein nishpan aleim? So, Rashi's example is where somebody goes over to a worker of his, and he tells him, "I gave you six chitin, and you were supposed to plant all six, and you didn't plant six. All you planted was five." And the person comes back, and he says, "It's true, you gave me six. And it's true, I didn't plant all six, but I didn't plant five. I planted five and a half." So essentially, there's a toyin v'nitin on one of these chitin, and the nitin is moide b'miktsas. Ordinarily, you would have a shvur deiraisa, moide b'miktsas. But if we look at this taina and this kfira as being karkas, then you would say, enish ba'in ala karkois. Either way, that's just a dogma that Rashi gives, but really, tain l'chachem b'yechkemoi. The question is, do we look at it as karka, or do we look at it as metalton? A third shaila, oimer matiron, oyein, oimer matiron. And of course, nothing's a mikra when you learn daf yoimi. This daf that we're learning right now is Tes Zayin Nisan's daf, which of course is the day that they used to bring the carbon oimer. And Rava had a shaila as it relates to the carbon oimer. Was the oimer mater chitin that's in the ground right now, or was it not mater chitin that's in the ground? So the Gemara says, one second, hey chidami, let's understand this a little bit better. Ida Ashrash, if Rava shaila of whether oimer is matirin or ein oimer matirin is talking about where the chitin already took root, it's a mefurish mishnah. I don't know why we have to have this conversation. And ida loy Ashrash, and if it's talking about where it didn't take root, tanino, it's It's also a Mefurish Mishnah. In fact, it's the same Mishnah, the Tran. What's this Mishnah? It's a Masech, this Menachas. Imesh Rishu Kaidim La'Omer. If you have something that grew right around the Omer time. So the Halacha is as follows. If the Hashrasha happened before the Omer, Omer Matira, then the Korban Omer is Matir. It's considered to have grown already, so that the Issachadosh is not something that's going to survive the Korban Omer. The Imlarf, and if the Tfuah did not take root yet, then the halach is asurin. It's going to have the Issachadosh ad sheyavoy Omer haba, until you bring the Korban Omer in the following year. So, what's Rav Shaila? Meaning, up until now, I hear, but this is a Mefurish Mishnah. Whether the Omer is matir chitin that's in the ground or not is totally very simple if the Ashrasha was before the Korban Omer was brought or if the Ashrasha was after the Korban Omer was brought. So ask yourself that question. That's what the answer is going to be. But why is Rav clearing a Shaila that's really a Mefurish Mishnah? So the Gemara says, obviously, Rav Shaila was a unique situation. The case was the Chatzdinu, meaning this person already harvested the grain. And as a result, it was something that for sure was going to be mutl achila once the Korban Omer was brought. However, Vizorinu, he then took the wheat that had already fully grown and he planted it again, koidem la'omer, before the Korban Omer was brought. The asale omer, and then the Korban Omer was brought, the chalafi lavai, while these chitin were back in the ground. However, it did not taken root at that time that the Korban Omer was brought. Now, what was the Shaila? The Shaila was, could he go now and eat it, or could he not eat it? Do we say, meaning, do we say that this is already harvested wheat? So this wheat already is something that 1,000% should be mutter la'achila. Narvas, he took it and he put it in the ground right now, a daita to let it grow. But being that this is something that was already roi la'achila, was already an oichel, so for sure the Korban Omer should be able to matter it. Or maybe, but linu agavare. Once you put it back in the ground, now all of a sudden we look at it as being part of the ground. Rashi adds one knech, and that is that if it's in the ground, the Korban Omer is not going to be matter because the Omer was matter oichel, the Omer was not matter karka. And being that it wasn't matter karka, if we look at it as being bottled to the karka, like in the other two shaylas, it's subject to the law of einon ala karkois, ein nishpan ala karkois, because I see a heft of karka. To the extent that I see a heft of karka, it could be over here, it wouldn't be matter, take who that was the shayla. But the bottom line is that enochinami, if this was a regular question where I put a seed and I have something that grew, then you ordinarily you just look at the hashrasha. Where was the hashrasha? But over here it was unique because it was already chatzdinu. That's the punchline. You had already harvested this food, then you put it back in the ground, and right now, the Korban Omer was brought. The Shaila is a whole different Shaila. The Shaila is, could the Korban Omer be matter oichel that's in the ground, or could it not be matter oichel that's in the ground? If you look at it as being bottled to the ground, then it can't be matter because there's a din that the Omer can't be matter karka. If, however, you look at it as just sitting in a kad, if it's sitting in a kad, it could be matter any oichel that's sitting in a kad, it'd be able to be matter this oichel as well. Either way, moving along. So again, we had three shailas. This is really the first part of the daf that Rava cleared. What was Rava shaila? He wanted to know as it relates to the halach of Einoi Nolder Karkais, but really as it relates to all different sugyas of Hilchas Karka, whether it's Einoi, whether it's Shvuiz Deiraisa, whether it's this din that the Omer is not Matir Karka, if someone takes chitin, he puts it into the ground, at some point there's going to be a hashrasha, but right now the hashrasha didn't happen yet. How do we look at it? Do we look at it as if it's sitting in a kad, or do we look at it if it's sitting in the Karka? And the Gemara says, Teiku, Zokta Gemara Vaikama Rava. Rava continued, and he said, Amar Rav Chasso, that I heard from Rav Chasso, who said that boy Rav Ami, the Rav Ami had the following Shaila. Oino ein lohem bitul mekach yeshlam. When we say in the Mishnah, Einoino lekarkois, and by the way, when we say in the Mishnah, Einoino lavadim, shtaris, and hekdeshes, all the things that the Mishnah said don't have oino. Does it mean that there's only no oino, but there is a bitul mekach? Oy, could be ein lohem, meaning even bitul mekach is something that these things are not going to have. So Rashi speaks out very, very critically to understanding Pasha Pshat and the Gemara, like Rashi usually does, that Avada, there's no question in the world that there's a parasha of Mekach Tois, as it relates to Avodim and Shtarois, Karkois, and Ektatius, as we spoke out in the beginning of the daf. So for sure, there is a parasha of Mekach Tois. That's not a question, right? The Gemara said, if you have a Dover that's Mida, Mishkal, and Minyan, Afilu pachas mikdei no chayzer, and the Gemara said it would be true for karkos. So there's no question in the world that there's a parsha mekachtois. What was the shiloh? The shiloh was as it relates to a digam mekachtois, where it really checks off the boxes, not of midah mishkal aminyan. It's not your classic mekachtois. But rather it's an oino digam mekachtois. What makes it oino digam mekachtois? Where the oino was yasem ishtos. The question is Karka, Avodim, Shtoris, and Hektish excluded even from that or not? Meaning, Rav Ami had it said that even when we say Einoino the Karkois, V'chule, it only means as it relates to the Halach of Shtos, or Pachas Mishtos. But as it relates to Yesem Mishtos, once there's a Mekach Tois, not Oy Inami, what's the other side? The other side is at the end of the day, Zakrash, it's one parasha. And if it's one parasha, and these things are excluded from the parasha, so either you're with us or against us. Either you're part of the parasha of Einoino, you're not part of the parasha of Einoino. Either way, says the Gemara, Rav Nachman said, Hada Amar Rav Chosa, that after Rav Chosa said that Rav Ami had this shayla, he said, Rav Chosa said afterwards, Pasha Rav Ami was Pasha the shayla, and he said, Oino, ain't lohem, bitul mekach, yesh lohem, the tzad mechudashes. And that is that even though the mekach tois of Yesem Mishtos is really part of the parish of Oino, and we're saying that all these things are excluded from the parish of Oino, but they're only excluded from the two-thirds of the parasha of Oino, but as it relates to that halach of Yesem Mishtos, they're going to be included. Rabbi Yoino Amar, Rabbi Yoino said, Ahekdeshois. He said this halach of Oino ain't lehem and bitul mekach yesh lehem is that statement. He said it not with regards to everything mentioned in the Mishnah. He said it with regards to Hekdesh. So Hekdesh is one of the things where ain't Oino, but he said it's only ain't Oino, but bitul mekach yeah. Rabbi Yirmiyah Amar karkois. Rabbi Yirmiyah said the same halach regarding karka. V'travayu mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan Amru, and they both said their halacha in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that Oino ain't lohem, bitul mekach yesham. So again, Rabbi Yoino was talking about Hekdesh, Rabbi Yirmi was talking about Karka. What did they say? Oino ain't lohem, bitul mekach yesham. And both of them respectively said their halacha in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Gemara, Manda mahakdeshois, the one that said it, ahakdeshois, who was that? That was Rabbi Yoino, kol shein akarkois. If this is true, that Oino ain't lohem, bitul mekach yesham, by Hektish, certainly it's going to be true by Karka. The man, the Makarkois, the man that said it only by Karka, but like Hektish, it could be by Hektish. This halach is not going to be true. Meaning, by Hektish, not only is Oino Ein Lehem, but Mekachtois is also Ein Lehem. Why? Kiddush Shmuel. It's based on something Shmuel said, and this is going to be Malavos for the next part of the daf. Shmuel said, Hektish of a mana. Somebody has Hektish that's worth a mana. Shechilulayash of a pruto, and now he's being Mechal the Hektish, right? We know there's a parasha being Poyd and being Mechal Hektish. And the chulin that he was mechalal it onto was only worth a pruta, meaning Hektish just lost out big time. You took Hektish that's worth a money, which is a lot of money, and you were mechalal it on a shava pruta, which is a little bit of money. So Shmuel said a chiddush. He said mechul. What do you see from Shmuel? That there's no bitul nekach when it comes to Hektish. Period. Just no aloch of mekachtois when it comes to Hektish. If that's the case, so the Gemara says gishmak that Rav Yoino, who said that Oino ain't lehem bitul mekach yesh lehem ahekdeshois. So if it's true by Hektish, it's going to be true by Karka as well. Meaning, if it's true by Hektish, that means that although Hektish is excluded from the parish of Oino, but not as it relates to the bitul mekach cheluk of Oino, so for Karka, it's the same profile, will be the same exact halacha. But Rav Yirmi, that's not a karkois, it could be by Hektish not. Because although Hektish and Karka have in common that they're both excluded from the parish of Oino, thus the chakir of what about bitul mekach would be the same, but there's a component, there's a tchunas hanefesh that Hektish has that Karka doesn't have, and that is Shmuel's memra. Hektish of Amana, Shechilu al Shava Pruta, Mechul. Meaning there's no sugya bechlal of bitul mekach when it comes to Hektish. If there's no sugya bechlal of bitul mekach when it comes to Hektish, so when he said bitul mekach yesh, by Karka, it could be it's Dafka by Karka, but not by Hektish. Now, what would be the svara for this? Why would you say that there's no bitul mekach by Hektish? Usually, it's just the opposite. Yad Hektish al el yoino. So why would you see all of a sudden there's no bitul mekach? So Rashi speaks out in the course of the sugya, a dover nifla. He says because bitul mekach, mekach tois, is based on someone not having full das in the transaction. It comes from a chesaron of das. Hektish is never considered to be b'chayse das. And the reason is because Hektish is kucha berichu, kaviyachu, and as a result, it doesn't pass the concept of mekach tois, and we like this svara so much that we're willing to take a loss from Hektish's perspective, Abida Svara. But either way, the Gemara says that this Shaila of Bittul Mekach as relates to Hektish is a different Shaila, because by Hektish you don't only have to Cheshbin the Oina. By Hektish you also have to Cheshbin this member of Shmuel. There's no Mekach Tois Bechlau when it comes to Hektish. Hektish of Amana Shechila Ashav Pruta Mechosok the Gemara. Tan Hasan, we learned in a Mishnah over there, and there is Tmura Davchav Vav Amidei. Says the Mishnah, Hoyo Kodesh Balmom. If somebody has hektish that's a balmum, so the halach is, you can be poyted. Meaning, the Mishnah over there is saying that if someone has hektish that doesn't have a mum, you can't be poyted. You can't be poyted a hektish, k'tushas aguf, unless it has a mum. Once it has a mum, it's known as psulei hamukdashim, and now all of a sudden it's subject to the laws of Mila. This is Kachim 101. Not subject to the laws of Mila, it's subject to the laws of Pidyon and Chilo. That is Kachim 101. Says the Mishnah. So if this Hektish has a mum, you could be poided. V'tzorich lasos loydamim. Stating that, in the event that the pidyon is not shava peshava, so you take a behemoth that's Hektish that's worth $100, and you poid it on $50, so you have to write a check. V'tzorich lasos loydamim, you have to make up the difference. Rabbi Yochanan said like this, yotzo l'chulin v'artayro, that really, when the Mishnah says yotzo l'chulin, it means midday raisa, it's chulin 100%. V'tzorich lasos loydamim is only midday. It's a dinder rabban rishlok. Says the Gemara. Let's understand this Mishnah, and then we're going to see what Shaychus it has to what we just discussed. When we say that the pidyon was off, it was within the shear of Oina, meaning, let's say it was a sixth. Would Rish Lakish say that midday raisa, you have to now go and give hektish that shtus? We learned in our Mishnah, hakar kois. You see, clearly there's no way not. So for sure the six you shouldn't have to give back. You have to say that it's talking about where it was Yaisa Mishtos. What's the Gemara's Kasha? Behold, Lemi Rabbi Yochanan Tzorach Lasses Leidamim Medivreim. It's possible that Rabbi Yochanan says that Midai Raisa, everything is good, but Midrabbanon, you have to make the person all. From Rabbi Yoina, a hektish choice. Rabbi Yirmiyah Amar, a karkois. Rabbi Yoina said regarding hektish, and Rabbi Yirmiyah said regarding karkois. Chavai, which made Rabbi Yochanan Amri, and they both send the name Rabbi Yochanan. I know, ain't lehem, bitul mekach, yesh lehem. That is no, I know, but there is. Bittul Mekach. Now, what's the kasha? The kasha is on Rabbi Yoina. The Rabbi Yoina said ahekdeshos. That halacha is that there is Bittul Mekach. So you say Merist, there's a concept of Mekach Tois, even by Hektish. Not like Shmuel's memory. There's a concept of Bittul Mekach when it comes to Hektish. If there's a concept of Bittul Mekach when it comes to Hektish, and who said this? Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Yoina, and who did Rabbi Yoina say it in the name of? Rabbi Yochanan, that means Rabbi Yochanan holds there is a concept of Bittul Mekach. If there's a concept of Bittul Mekach, then how could Rabbi Yochanan say Tzorach Lasis Loidomim Midivreyim? What do you mean Midivreyim? Tzorach Lasis Loidomim Midivreyim? The whole thing is Betelim Umuvutalim. Tzorach Lasis Loidomim Midai Raisa. The whole thing is bottle. So you have a steer in Rabbi Yochanan. Again, Rashi speaks out clearly. The Kasha is only in Rabbi Yochanan, who said it a Hekdeshos. But the point is, Rabbi Yoina, who said Mefurish, Aliba de Rabbi Yochanan, that what? That there is a concept of Mekach Tois as it relates to Hektish. And that's why Bittul Mekach Eilem by Hektish. I'm sorry, no, Eilem by Hektish of a Bittul Mekach Yesh Lehem. If that's the case, if there's Bittul Mekach, then how could you say that Yotzo Luchulin Vartoir of Tzorach Lasis Leidomim, this is a Mekach Tois? If it's a Mekach Tois, it wasn't Yotzo, says the Gemara. Lo'oilam b'bitul Mekach. Meaning, let's just chaz over the cash a little bit, because the Gemara is going to cheshbin here a little bit. So, we had a Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Amhoyu Kodesh Balmum, Yotzo Luchulin, Vitzorach Lasis Leidomim. So, if someone has Hektish, it's a Balmum, you appoint it. So, what's the halacha? It's Yotzo Luchulin, but if there's a discrepancy, meaning you didn't do it, dollar for dollar, Tzorach Lasis Leidomim. Machloikis Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, what the Tzorach Lasis Leidomim is Midrabanan, that's Rabbi Yochanan says, or it's Midai Raisa, that's what Rish Lakish says. Now, the Gemara wasn't sure how to learn the Mishnah. The Gemara toots started. One side is that it's talking about where this discrepancy was exactly a shtos, but the Gemara immediately rejected that. Based on what? Based on the fact that if that's the case, Tzorach Lasis Leidomim contradicts the halacha of Einon Ola Karkois. Now, Bishlam, Rabbi Yochanan, it's only Midivreim, I could hear that. But Rish Lakish says that even Midai Reis, It's impossible that Rish Lakish would say that you have to go and how it's mamish kineged the Mishnah. Vein and olakar koy. It's that part of the Mishnah. But either way, that doesn't work. Elamai, it's talking about where it was nyoisa mishtos. If it's nyoisa mishtos and you have your machlekes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, we're Rabbi Yochanan. That's what we need. Says that it's yotzal chulin dvar toyer v'tzarich lasis loydamim midareim. That means that there's no bittul mekach when it comes to hektish. And obviously, it's going to be based on Shmuel's memory. Hektish shava mona shechilu al shava pruta mechulu. The problem is Rabbi Yochanan had a Messiah in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The Rabbi Yochanan said that when we say there's no Aina by Hektish, it means Aina Elam Avabit Mekach Yeshlam. So the Gemara is going to have two Mahalchim had to answer this. Lo'ayla Bebitul Mekach. Lo'ayla is talking about Bitul Mekach. The Epach, the Rabbi Yochanan, the Reish Lakish. And you have to be mepach, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish. Meaning it's not Rabbi Yochanan that says that it's only Midrabanan that you have to give it back and you have to make Hektish whole. It's Rabbi Yochanan that holds the Midei Reis that you have to make him whole. And the reason is because Rabbi Yochanan holds that Bittul Mekach Yeshlam. Now, before the Gemara says the second teretz, a little tricky, the Gemara is going to just hit the pause button for 1 second and the Gemara is going to try to understand a little bit what the machloikis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is. Meaning, this sounds like the machloikis is whether or not you say Mekach Tois when it comes to Hektish. You don't say Mekach Tois when it comes to Hektish, which is going to be one of the Gemara's two possibilities of what's going on over here. But Michael, if we give it to Shmuel, the machloikis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is Shmuel's halacha, right? The Amash Shmuel said Hektish, Shavim on the Shechila, Shavim Pruto, Mechulol. He said a chiddush that there's no mekach tois, right? You said there's no das tois when it comes. Man, usli the Shmuel, man, lastly the Shmuel. That's the machlokes over here. Whether you say Shmuel's chiddush, you don't say Shmuel's chiddush. Iba yisaim or the Gemara says kubi the kuli ame islu with the Shmuel. Lo oilam, maybe everybody holds like Shmuel's halacha. V'hacha b'hacha mifli. What's the machlokes over here? Mar sabar shechiluloi in lechatchiluloi. Even Shmuel, when he said his halacha, right? What was Shmuel's memra? Shmuel said hektish shava mana shechiluloi al shava pruta mechulo, which sounds like it's only a din b'diavad. But maybe lechatchila not. Mar sabah filo lechatchila, that this is something that you're allowed to do, even lechatchila. Meaning, could be they both really hold of Shmuel. Sai Rabbi Yochanan and Sai Reish Lakish. What then is the shayla? The shayla is, Shmuel's din is a din of bidiyeved, or Shmuel's din is even a din of lechatchila. Meaning, Shmuel just said that hektish shava mana shechila lo yal shava pruta mechula. There's no parasha mekach tois. Mekach tois means that if there's a tois in the transaction, the whole mekach is bottled. That's what Shmuel's coming lafuki. That's not true. But it doesn't mean lechatchila. So lechatchila could be even midday raisa, you have a chiv to go ahead and give. It's not a steer to what Shmuel said. Shmuel maybe only meant b'dieved. Or maybe not. Maybe Shmuel meant even lechatchila. So then what does it mean that you have to go give? It's just midrain you would have to give. So could be they both be'et some hold. Could be they're arguing in Shmuel's din. Is there mekach tois or is there no mekach tois by hektish? High level. Is this halacha true by hektish or not? Inami, everyone agrees that there really is b'dieved no parasha mekach tois. The question is lechatchila, and the whole machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is on the lechatchila the level. But enochrayim b'dieved, they're agreeing that whatever happened. No one's disputing that. The question is midday raisa, do I have a chiv lechatchila to go make the person up or not? Either way, going back to the Mishnah, right? The Gemara is going to say iba yaseima, which sounds like it's a hemshech to the previous Iba Yaseima, but really it's not. This Iba Yaseima is going back on the original Mishnah. Again, we got stuck in this Mishnah because we seem to think that we had a Mishnah where Rabbi Yochanan says that there is a parsha, that there's no parsha of Mekach Tois when it comes to Hektish. How does it stem with what Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? Oino ein lahem babitol Mekach Yeshlam. The first teretz of the Gemara was Epoch. The second teretz of the Gemara is Iba Yaseim lo'olam b'chtei oino. Lo'olam, that Mishnah is talking about where it was exactly a shtos. It was exactly a shtos. Im hoye kodesh ba'mum yatzal duchum v'sarach lasis lo'idamim, means you have to give back the shtos. For loy tepach. And if that's the case, you don't have to say epach. Right? What was the reason epach? Because we thought we were handling mekach tois. So if this is a Mishnah mekach tois, and you have a member from Rabbi Yochanan, and it's in conflict with another member that have from Rabbi Yochanan mekach tois, well, then you have no choice. You have to make a flip. You have to say epach. But to the extent that the Mishnah is not talking about mekach tois, it's talking about where it was exactly a shtos. So one thing's clear, for loy tepach. Now, what was the problem with learning the Mishnah this way? Because how could Reish Lakish say v'tzarech lasis loydamim dvar toir? You want to tell me tzarech lasis loydamim mid derabanan? I could live with that, but dvar toir, that's not possible. Says the Gemara, but Rav Chizda komiflegi, it is possible. And really, the yisoid of the machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is shitas Rav Chizda. The Amar Rav Chizda said, "My ein lehem oino." When it says in the Mishnah, Rashi says, "By kat hektish." by hektish. Tosfos says it as well. When it says in the Mishnah that hektish is ein lehem oina, what it means is einam b'toyres oina. It means that they're not included in the Shulchan Aruch of oina. Da afilu pachos michdei oina chayzer. Not ein lehem oina l'kula lehektish. That's inconsistent with everything we know about hektish. It's just the opposite. It's ein lehem oina le Chumra, meaning hektish is yada el yaina, and even if it's pachas mikdei oina, that loch is it's going to be chayzer. That's what Rish Lakish held. So Rish Lakish says that when it says in the Mishnah Tzarech Lasis Lidamim, it means that that 1/6 midday raisa you have to give back. I ain't no inol karkois, ain't no inol lekdeshes. The teretz is Rish Lakish holds like Rav Chizda. Ain't no inol means fakert. Ain't no b'toyres inol that you don't have any of the kulas of inol. That even pachas mishnah. What do you mean? If there was some sort of fraud, you have to go have an obligation to make the person know. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan held just the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan held that ain't no inol lekdeshes is the same as ain't no inol lavo. Vodim, shtoris, and karkois. What it means is that if there's a shtus, there's not going to be any halacha that you have to give it back. That is the machlokes. So either the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is b'dishmul, yes shmul, no shmul, or did shmul mean lechatchila b'dieved, or they're arguing Rav Chizda. So these are major league machlokes in over here. But the shaila really is this like a kachem diga machlokes, or is this a parakazov? This is a no diga machlokes. But the Gemara is a kasha. Meisavei ribis v'ayinah lehedit v'ayin ribis v'ayinah lehekdesh. Abraisa, it says that the laws of ribis and the laws of ayinah are subject to all hedit transactions. But now when it comes to hekdesh, what do you see from here? You see mefurish ein ribis. The oina the hektish, but the Gemara says this is a kasha. Meaning, kilu, this is a kasha on Rav Chizda that said that hektish has even more oina. But faith, the Gemara, mi alima mi masnisan, is this any better than the Mishnah? What do you see in this Bryson that you didn't see in the Mishnah? And what do we say about the Mishnah? The Mishnah said oina no lektishes. Doi kim the betayrus oina. It means there's no tayrus oina that even pachas mikdash does. Achinami ribis v'din oina lehedyet v'in ribis v'din oina lehektish. You're going to say the same exact thing as it relates to this Bryson. But the Gemara says ihachi. No, it's not so simple. The Bryson, you know why? Look at the sefer. Haynu diktani sefer. It says in the sefer zechoymer behedyet mi behektish. Meaning, it sounds like that this halacha of ribis v'ayinah lehedyet and ribis v'ayinah lehektish is a chumra that you find in hedyet that you don't find by hektish. In fact, the brisa. In a rather interesting way, comments and says, you should know that although throughout Shas, you always find that hektish is more chamer than hedyet, obezed, this is a dugma where it's chamer behedyet, mi behektish. Now, if you're going to tell me that what does it mean, ein oina lehektish, that there's no oina at all, and you don't have to give back the shtos, and it could be there's not even a bit of mekach, telling the machlik is Rabbi Yoina and Rabbi Yirmiya, the travayu, alibi, the Rabbi Yechanan, okay, then it's very good. That's a chumer that hedyet has over hektish. But if you're going to tell me that ein a betairis, I know, then it's just the opposite. It's not chumer that hedyet has over hektish. This is another chumra that hektish has over hedyet. And for the Gemara on Ribis, you have to say that line of zech chumra behedyet mi behektish is not referring to both things. Meaning the brisa starts Ribis v'inah lehedyet v'ein Ribis v'inah lehektish. And then it says zech chumra behedyet mi behektish. Pashtus, you learn the zeh is going back on both of them. But the way Rav Chizda is going to learn the brisa, it's not going back on both of them, but it's only referring to, but the Gemara asks a follow-up question. If that's the case, listening now mi zech chumra behektish mi behedyet. A'oina. Meaning, if, as it relates to ribis and oina, one of them is a chumra in hedyet, and the other one's a chumra of hektish, so I should have said, as it relates to ribis, that's a chumra that hedyet has over hektish. And as it relates to oina, that's a chumra that hektish has over hedyet. But the Gemara says, a geshmak yateres, hachi hashto, bishloimo, zechoyme behedyet mi behektish vesulay. Bishloimo, the fact that you see that there's a chumra that hedyet has over hektish, that's, wow, that's so interesting, that's fascinating, that's worthy of hitting the pause button and noticing. But you're going to tell me zeh chaymer behektish? There's so many things. First of all, the word zeh is not accurate because it's not just this, and it's not even newsworthy. And it's for that reason, la'olam, I'll tell you that as it relates to ribis v'ayinah that you find behedyet not behektish, one of them is a tzad kula, one of them is a tzad chumra. When it says zeh, it's referring to the tzad chumra, which is ribis, not ayinah. Why didn't you also mention it by ayinah? Because by ayinah, mazal tov, there's so many chumras. Here it's zeh. It's this and nothing else, and that's why this is what it is that we're mentioning. Either way, so b'derech agav, we just brought a brisa that mentioned ribis v'ayinah lehedyet v'ayin ribis v'ayinah lehektish. Now the sugyas of ribis, sugyas that be'ezer Hashem, we are going to be learning in the coming days, in the next parak. The whole parak dedicated to the sugyas of ribis. Stating that, ribis and ayinah come together, we've seen that already, and it's for that reason that the brisa over here lumped them together, and the Gemara now is going to focus for 1 minute on the ribbis component of the Braisa. So again, the Braisa said ribbis v'inah lehedit v'in ribbis v'inah lehektish. We needed the oinah part of ribbis v'inah. But for derech agav, we're going to talk about the ribbis part. So what did the Braisa say? There's no ribbis when it comes to hektish. So the Gemara says like this: ribbis the hektish heichidami. What is even a case of ribbis the hektish? I mean, where's it again? Just posh. What's the case that there's no hilchas ribbis? The shulchan aruch of ribbis doesn't apply to hektish. Ilem the isve gizber meya the meva esrim is the case. But the Gizbar took $100 worth of hektish, and he now loaned it to somebody for $120. This is Ribbis 101. Says the Gemara, that can't be the case. Why not? Because v'haloi mal ha-gizbar. Because when the Gizbar did that, he was considered to be a mayal. Him taking hektish's money and doing this illegal loan is considered me'ila. And if it's me'ila, here's the punchline, v'kivan shemal ha-gizbar yatsu ma'isav l'chulin. Once you're mayal, the money automatically becomes chulin v'havalu the hedit. And then it's already hedit, so it should be subject to the laws of me'ila. I'm Rav Hoishnias, Rav Hoishnias, Rav Hoishnias, I'll tell you where it's negated this halacha. Kigon shekibel all of the sapik saltois me'arba. It's talking about where hektish signed a contract with a supplier, and this supplier is going to provide all the silas. It's a good contract. All the flour that we needed for all the different menachas. And when they did this contract, they agreed on a price. And the price is that you're going to give us 4 sa'in of silas for every seller. That was the agreement. So for every seller that this guy gets, he has to deliver 4 sa'in. For amdu mishalosh. And then what happened was, there was inflation. The price of flour went up, and now it's no longer 4 for the dollar. Now it's 3 for the dollar. Ordinarily, this would be a problem. And the reason this would be a problem, now it would be a problem if it actually went up in price, it would be a problem to even engage in such a transaction. And the reason ordinarily this would be a problem is because the halacha is that you're not even allowed to go and front a supplier money where the supplier agrees to deliver a product regardless of any fluctuation in the price. Because we're afraid that what happens if the item actually goes up in value, so that what happens is that you on the other end is going to end up getting a better deal, and it's going to look a little bit like ribbis. The reason it looks like ribbis is because you fronted the money, Tim. So it looks like your supplier said, you know, if you give me the money today, I need it for cash flow, right? So then I'm willing to provide you based on these terms, even if it ends up that I'm giving you more than I was supposed to. It looks like aganat. It looks mamish like ribbis. It's something that's awesome. But that was the maisa. The maisa was going to keep it all of the sapik salt me'arba v'amdu mishalosh, and then the soils went up in value, and kitatanan, and this is really a mishnah mesachta shkolam ha'makabal all of a sapik saltis me'arba v'amdu mishalosh or sapik me'arba. The halacha is that you have to give it me'arba, meaning you have to deliver the original deal that you agreed upon. Again, it's talking about somebody that signed a deal with hektish. Mishalosh v'amdu me'arba. What if it was in the reverse? What if somebody agreed that he's going to provide and he was told 3 sa'in for the seller, and now v'amdu me'arba, and now it went down, so the halacha is misapik me'arba, then you have to give the 4. And the reason is, she'ad hektish alo yoin. Hektish always gets the better end of the deal. Now again, this is something that in the hedyit world would be awesome. Again, we said you couldn't even sign the contract in hedyit. And certainly the halacha is that if you agreed 4 to a seller, now it's 3 to a seller, so you're delivering, when you deliver the 4, you're delivering something that's very, very valuable. Really, this is a ribbis type of transaction. It's something that be'etzin would be awesome, but when it comes to hektish, yad hektish al yoin, it's mutin. That's what we mean when we say there's no ribbis when it comes to hektish. Rapapa said, hocha ba'avne binyan ha'mesurois l'gizbar askinan. It's talking about where this situation that happened was where the gizbar loaned something that was hektish, but the thing that he loaned was avne binyan. He loaned stones that were meant to be used for the Bet HaKabayis. It was meant to be used for the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, why is this different? Meaning we already tried this. We said maybe it's talking about what the Gizbar made a loan. If the Gizbar made a loan and he charged ribbis, I said no, because if he made the loan and he charged ribbis, it's me'ila, and once it's me'ila, it's hedyit. But the Avni Binyan was a little bit different. The Shmuel, it's based on something Shmuel said. The Amar Shmuel said, that when people used to donate stones and different material that was needed for the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash, they would donate it in the form of chulin, and after they built it, they would for whatever reason, but that's the way they used to do it. So here you have a situation where right now the Gizbar has something that's not hektish yet. Because it's not hektish, if you would do some illicit loan, it wouldn't be considered me'ilah, because you can only be ma'il on something that's hektish, but at the same time, it does belong to hektish, and that's where it's negeya, this halacha, an interesting idea of ribis v'ayna lehedit, v'ein ribis v'ayna lehektish. Either way, going back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said, "Elu dvarim she'ein lamayna avodim v'ashtarois v'akarkois v'akdeshes." Next part of the Mishnah, "Ein lahem tashlumei kefil." These four things, avodim, shtarois, karkois, and hekdesh, are not subject to the laws of kefil. V'loy tashlumei arba v'chamisha. Additionally, they're not subject to the laws of arba v'chamisha. So what's kefil? If someone's a ganev, he's found, eidim, the halacha has to be kefil. What's dal v'hei? If somebody steals a shor or a seh, geneva. Tavach oy mocher, the halach is you paid all day. Additionally, the Mishnah says, Shay Mechinam enoy nishba, the noise is sacha in a mashalim. A Shay Mechinam who swears, if he's watching a pekodin and he says, Geneva vavedo, is chay shfuah de reisa, he would not swear the shfuah de reisa to the extent that we're dealing with avadim, shtaris, karkois, and ekdeshis. And noise is sacha in a mashalim. If he was a Shay Mechinam who pays when there's Geneva vavedo, he would not be mechuyev to pay if the thing that he was watching was again avodim shtaris karkois and ekdeshes. The Gemara from here until the end of the daf is going to bring the sources for all these different halachas. So number one, eibem tashlumei kefil. This chabur over here is not subject to the laws of kefil. No, I mean, how do you know this? The Tanu Rabbanon, we learned in a braisa. It says in the Torah, al kol dvar pesha. So the pasuk says, al shor, al chamor, al se, al salma, al kol aveda shi yomer kiuze. Ado elikim yoved var shneim, ashe yashin elikim yishalim. So we dash in like this. I'll call dvar pesha klal. That's a klal. Anything. Al shor, al chamor, al se, al salma prat. These are all examples of things. That's not everything. It's specific things. I'll call aveda shiyomer. Chazav klal. That's again a klal. Klal prat to klal. What's the rule? Iyat to don elikena prat. So we marbe anything that's similar to the prat. Okay. Maha prat. What's the common denominator between a shor, a chamor, a se, and a salma? It's mefurish davar hametaltel gufei mamain. These are metaltelin, and not just that. It's not something that just represents money, but it's something that has inherent and intrinsic value. I've called over a metaltel the gufay mamin, so to anything that's metaltel and is gufay mamin is going to be included in the parish of kefil yotzu karkois she'enon metaltel. And from here, we're memayit karka, because karka is not a dover a metaltel. Yotzu avodim, although it is a dover a metaltel, but shehukshul karkois throughout chas, it's iskish le karka. Yotzu shtoroi, shnafo pisha metaltel, although it is metaltel, a be'en gufay mamin. What about hektashos? Right, we didn't have any mirit for hektashos. That's not nismite from the klal prat to klal a makro, but that's nismite from the fact that it says in the pasuk yishalim shnayim lireyeu and reyeu is v'loy hektish. Now, what does this pasuk have to do with kefil? That's the end of the pasuk, right? It says yishalim shnayim lireyeu, and really this pasuk is talking about a shomer, right? That's what the pasuk is talking about. And so, what the shomer that's toyin tainas ganev shemichinam who has to pay kefil. But al kaponim, you see it with regards to that din kefil, and not just that. I in the Gemara is in the beginning of Perek Meruba, where the Gemara learns in this pasuk gufa regular halachas of kefil as it relates to agana. But al kaponim, what's in the makar? Eved shtar and karka on the smite from the klal prat to klal, and hektish is a smite from kefil because it says reyek. V'loy tashlume arba v'chamisha. How do you know they're excluded from arba v'chamisha? My kaima tashlume arba v'chamisha. Amar achmana v'loy tashlume shloisha v'arba. It's pashit, because once there's no kefil, they can't be dalad v'hei. Meaning, although we don't have a mir in the parish of dalad v'hei for all these things, but we have a mir in kefil. And once there's a mir in kefil, then memela they can't be dalad v'hei. Because it says in the Torah, arba and chamisha, it doesn't say shloish of arba. If you would have the dalad v'hei component without the kefil, it would be shloish of arba. That's not something you have. Shemichinim einoy nishba. Shemichinim doesn't swear for these things, but not immediately. How do I know that? The Tanu Rabbanon, and it says in the Torah, so read we'll read the pasuk first. Ki yitein ish al reyeu kesef ekelim lishmar v'gunav. Mi base ha'ish and mi motzei haganov yishalim shnayim. This pasuk is talking about the shomer chinam. Okay, it says ki itin ishal reyeyu klal. It sounds like anything. Kesef oikelim prat. The gunav mi base ha'ish chaza v'kala. Klal prat to klal yatadon elakein prat. Ma prat mefurish davar metalta v'gufei mamin. Again, what was the prat over here? A little different than the previous prat. Over here, the prat is kesef oikelim. But what's the point? The prat is a dover hametaltel and it's gufei mamin. I've called dover hametaltel and gufei mamin. Yatsu karkois she'en metaltel. Yatsu avodim shehuk shul karkois. Again, although it is metaltel, but it's iskish lekarka. Yatsu shtarois she'afa pisha metaltel and it's not iskish lekarka. Abe ein gufei mamin. It's not mamin. What about hekdesha? Shoyes, Amakra, it says in this same Pasik, the word Re'eyu, Kitan Ish El Re'eyu, we learn from here, Re'eyu V'loi Shalak, it's just Pasik's talking specifically about where you're watching something that belongs to Hedyet, not something that belongs to Hekdesh. Noisa Sachar, Ein Mashal. And Noisa Sachar doesn't pay in the event that it was Gnev Aved. Or narrowly, Shem Sachar pays for Gnev Aved, but not in these things. Menon, immediately, how do you know this? The Tanur Rabbanon, that's learned out from the Pasik, that talks about the Shem Sachar. It says, Kitan Ish El Re'eyu, Chamor, doesn't matter what you give him. So again, it's a klal prat. Not prat. What was the prat again? It was shor, se, and chamar. So the prat is mefurish dover hametalt of gufay mamon. It's metalt and it's gufay mamon. I've called dover hametalt of gufay mamon. Yatzu karkois again. It's in dritten mal sheinu metaltin. Yatzu avodim. Although it's metaltin shohukshul karkois and yatzu shtarois. Afa pisha metaltin. Even though it's metaltin in gufay mamon. What about hekdeshnois on makra? It says here in this pasuk as well. The pasuk of the shoyim mesacher re'eyu, and we learn from there re'eyu v'loy shel hekdesh. Either way, the makar to all three of these halachas mentioned in the Mishnah, meaning the first part of the Mishnah was Eil Dvam She'en Lamoy, no. Ha'avodim Ashnoris HaKrakois Ve'ekdeshnes. The next halachas were Eil Lam Tashlume Kefil, V'loi Tashlume Arba V'chamisha, V'loi the Shemichinam is not Nishba, Shemichachas Einem Mishalim. Where does it come from? It comes from a combination of a cloud prat to cloud that you have Sayin the Parasha of Kefil, Sayin the Parasha of Shemichinam, Sayin the Parasha of Shemichachar. Additionally, you have the word Re'eyu that's mentioned in each of these parashiyas, and it's based on those drushes that we know that these things are going to be excluded from these very prominent parashiyas in the Torah.
The following raid bite is being added to the daf as in Yana Diyoma.
The halachos of Mar. So yesterday we mentioned that there's two minhagim in Klal Yisrael as to how people are mekayim the mitzvah of Mar. There's one minig that people use lettuce as Mar. There's another minig that people use horseradish as mar. And the truth is, both minhagim have a makar in the one Mishnah in Shas that discusses the yirakoy she'adam yoytze behem yedei chayvasei v'pesach. The Mishnah says it could be yoytze with chazeres, tamcha, charchavino, ulshin, and mar. Chazeres is what in Aramaic is chasa, which in German is salat, which in English is lettuce. Tamcha says the Tosfos Yontif, Anu regilim lefarshay, it means horseradish. So the Mishnah says it could be yoytza the mitzvah of mara with lettuce, and the Mishnah says it could be yoytza the mitzvah of lettuce with the mitzvah of mara with horseradish. The point is they both work, and it's because they both work that you have two minhagim in Klal Yisrael. Stating that, the Gemara was mavur, that even though there are different yurakos that a person can use to be yoytza the mitzvah of mara, however, mitzvah b'chazeres, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down in Archaim, Simin Tafai, and Gimel, Sivkan Vav, that mitzvah b'chazeres, the lekatchila way for a person to be yoytza the mitzvah of mara, is using lettuce. So the question is, if the mitzvah lekatchila is to use chazeres, so why do so many people use horseradish? So we mentioned yesterday that the reason is because at the end of the day, our lettuce, romaine lettuce, or the lettuce that people use for mara is usually not bitter. In fact, it's usually sweet. People that like it, it tastes pretty good. So if that's the case, even though Chazal said mitzvah b'chazeres, but ain't mikra yoytze midei pshutai, mara is supposed to be bitter. The reason we eat mara is al shem v'ayim mara as chayeim. So those that feel that enochinami, once upon a time, people ate chazeres because they were eating bitter chazeres. They were eating chazeres that stayed in the ground for a long period of time. Maybe chazeres that's native to different lands, that was cultivated in a certain way. But the chazeres must have been bitter. And when the chazeres was bitter, mitzvah b'chazeres. But to take romaine lettuce that you'll put in your salad, that's not something that you're allowed to eat. Because at the end of the day, maror has to be bitter. Because the reason we eat maror is to remember vayu maror as chayeim. And therefore, if you need to find something bitter, and l'katchila, you're supposed to use something that's mentioned in the Mishnah, so we'll use tamcha. Tamcha, tamim misaprim kfeit keo, like the Hilgich Sam Sofer said, tamcha is chrein, it's horseradish, and that's what you're supposed to. But regardless, both minhagim have a makar. So I just wanted to talk a little bit, more from a machshava standpoint. There are so many yidin that use lettuce, and they don't use bitter lettuce, they use sweet lettuce. And it's mashma that way from the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch Harav, etc., etc. The question is, how do you make sense of that? How do you reconcile this idea that you're being mekayim the mitzvah of maror, which is zecher to vayim maror as chayeim, using something that clearly is not bitter? In Parsha Shmois, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to Moshe for the first time. He comes to him by the snare, Moshe, Moshe, Hineini, Shal Nalechem Yal Raglecho, and he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I want to give you a very important mission. I want you to be a shliach. I want you to be the one that is going to represent me and Klal Yisrael to take the unanimous right. Moshe Rabbeinu went back and forth. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't interested. 7 days, and finally he agrees. Together with his brother Aaron, they go to Pare and they tell Pare, let my people go, right? I'm coming in the name of God. He created the world. He's the God of all your gods. And he told me, instructed me to tell you to let the Yidden come out of Mitzrayim. What was Pare's reaction? Pare said, these people are insane. Tichpado avoido al anoshim. They're clearly not working hard enough. But God appeared to them. He wants them to come out of Egypt. He says, make them work hard. And the pasuk goes on and describes in detail exactly what Pare made the Yidden do. Whereas formerly they were working like this. Now suddenly they had to work like that. And suddenly everything starts devolving and spiraling completely out of control. Moshe Rabbeinu saw what happened. Says the pasuk, this is the mafter in Parashat Shmos. Vayoshev Moshe al Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayoymer, and he said, Hashem, lama hariyoysa lama zeh. Lama zeh shlachtani. Why'd you do this? I understand. The idea was, the goal was for me to be the shlech to take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. And what happened? Umeyaz basi al Pari, for the time I came to Pari, ledaber b'shmecha, to represent you, to speak in your name, heira lo amazeh, v'hatzo lo yitzalta es hamecha. This is not playing out the way you told me it was going to. Hashem told Moshe, atatira, now you're going to see Hashem esel l'farei. Ki b'yod chazoka yishalchem, u b'yod chazoka yigarshem mi'artzei. So Moshe Rabbeinu, together with the Haran, they go to Pari for the first time. Let my nation go. What's Pari's reaction? Tichba do avoid al anoshim. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes running to Hashem. Vayoshem Moshe al Hashem. Vayoymer Hashem. Lama hariyoysa lo amazeh. Lama zeh shalachtani. And the beginning of Parshas Va'era, Rashi brings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not happy with the way Moshe Rabbeinu reacted to the event. And he said, Chaval al da'avdin v'lo mishtachin. How does the next parasha begin? Parshas Va'era. Va'era al Avram, al Yitzchak, v'al Yaakov. Right, immediately, the Eibush banked sich noch the Ovis HaKadoshim. Because Rashi says that Hashem told Moshe, with the Ovis, I never had situations like this. Do you know the Nisyonis Avram had and Yitzchak had and Yaakov? They never questioned me. They said, all of a sudden, I send you on a shlichus and something doesn't work out perfectly. Lama hariyoysa lo amazeh, lama zeh shalachtani, vadvorim atikin. The Briskerov said, what was really pshat? What was really pshat? Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Pare, he has the shlichus. This is the aschalta de geula. This is when everything is going to flip over. We're going from golus to geula. And he has this job of taking the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. And what's Pari's reaction? Everything gets worse. So it gets worse. So the Brisker Rav said a dover nifla. He said, we know that Yidden was supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Avram Avinu by the Brisbane Absorm in Parshas Lech Lecha. He told him, Yodoya teda kiger yizaracha. Right, it's going to be terrible, and then eventually the gamas goya sheyavoidu dona noichi va'achri ken yetsu b'chutz shkola. But how many years were the Yidden supposed to be in Mitzrayim? The Yidden was supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. Ultimately, they were in Mitzrayim for 210 years. Not just that, the shibud of Mitzrayim, the vayimaru as chayeim of Mitzrayim, lasted for how many years? 86 years. Miriam was called Miriam because she was born at the time of Vayimaru as Chayeyan, at the onset. Miriam was 86 years old at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Gematria of Elikim, like we spoke at earlier this week from the Chassam Sofer, and the Vayimaru as Chayeyan ended up being 80, but it was supposed to be 400 years. So if it was supposed to be 400 years, why was it only 210 years? Why was it only 86 years? So Chazal say it was because of the Koshei Hashivot. It's because Hashem made in Echos, qualitatively, the Golos, and the Vayimaru as Chayeyim, and the Vavodim v'inu oisim to be so terrible, that qualitatively they got in 210 years, they got in 86 years, what they were supposed to have gotten in 400 years. So said the Brisker Rav, so what ultimately brought in and ushered the Geula? It was the Koshi Hashibud. Without the Koshi Hashibud, the Yidden were going to be in Mitzrayim for another 200 years, another 100 and whatever years, do the math. But it was because of the Koshi Hashibud. It was because of Tichbad or Avoid al Anoshim that they got out. So the Biskarov said a Dovah Nifla. The Ebeshah sends Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Pari. And he told Pari, let my nation go. I'm a shliach of the Ebeshah. What was Pari's reaction?
Tichbado avoido al anoshim. Moshe Rabbeinu comes running to Hashem. Lo mariyosu, lo mazel, lo mazel shalachtoni. This is backfiring. Zok to briskerov, it wasn't backfiring. Moshe Rabbeinu at nishvashtanin. This was the geula. Because in order for the geula to happen now, there had to be a koshe yashibud. And where was the koshe yashibud going to come from? It was going to come from tichbado avoido al anoshim. This was precisely the next move in this chess match. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was about to checkmate Paroi. But the Yidden needed the schoolers and they needed the schosim. And part of that was the Shibud Mitzrayim. And they needed Koshi Yashibud. Otherwise, it's 400 years. And the only way we can get out now, literally, after only 50% of the term, is by making that up. And you know we're going to make it up, not with quantity, but rather with quality. So what's the next move? The next move is Tichba Do'av Oidal Anoshim. Aber Moshe Tis Nish Vashtanin, the Priskirov said. And that's why he came to the Eibishter, Lama Riyoysa, Lama Zeh, Lama Zeh Shalachtoni. But what did Eibishter tell him? Vayoyim Hashem, Moshe Atatira. No, this is all about the Geula. You don't understand. Now you're going to see Asher Esel Paroi, Ki Biyod Chazoki Yishalchem, Ubiyod Chazoki Yigarshem Meyartzoi. A Dover Nifla. But the truth is, if you think a little bit about this idea of the Koshi Yashibud, I think it's Tzorech Bir. The Yidden was supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. Instead of being there for 400 years, they ended up being there for 210 years with the Koshi Yashibud of 86 years. And it seems that this was a big chesed. What was the chesed? You don't have to be there for 400 years. No, it's only 86 years. Is that really a chesed? I mean, think about it. It's six of one, half a dozen of another, right? So imagine saying, instead of Auschwitz being, the Holocaust lasting for 6 years, could have lasted for 30 years. And instead of gazing, Rachmana Litzlan, 30,000 Jews a day in Auschwitz, or whatever the numbers were, it could have been only 5,000 or 6,000 would have been spread out over 20, 30 years. Is that a chesed or faker? Instead of it being 6 years, we'll do it in 2 years, and they'll gaz 100,000 a day. Is that a grace of chesed? I guess the war would have ended quicker and we can get back on our feet. But I think it's sarach bir a little bit. What's the Havana? What's the thief guide over here of the Koyche Yashibud? But at the end of the day, the Yidden got what they were supposed to get, right? So there was supposed to be a Shibud that wasn't going to be so gefährlich, spread out over a longer period of time. Instead, it was intensified, and it ended up being more intense over a shorter period of time. I think this Chazal is an Einoy Omer Ela Dershuni. So this is obviously above our pay grade. But just one Ha'ara, one Neufach, as it relates to this idea, maybe understanding it on a little bit on a different level. And that is based on a fascinating mimer in the Ur Yisrael from Hagoy Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And that is as follows. We know the Svarim say, in different places, in different Nuschois, Marke de Islay, Marke de Islay, that Shibud Mitzrayim, in Hashem's infinite wisdom, was something that was very good for Klal Yisrael. It was a prerequisite. It was something that the Yidden needed in order to be Mekabel the Torah. It was something that the Yidden needed in order for them to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael. So Shibud Mitzrayim, as much as it was terrible, Vayimoru es Chayim, but again, seeing the big picture, like we'll see one day when it's going to be Umal Aretz Deya, it was understood that for the Yidden, it was actually something that was very important. It was something that was very, very necessary. And with that theme, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says something fascinating. He says that Chazal say that a Kadosh Baruch Hu one day is going to judge a person for every little thing he does and for every big thing that he does. Now, on the simplest level, Elul, for example, what's the symbol? You have the maznayim, you have the scale. You have the mitzvahs on one side, you have the averis on the other side. If you have more mitzvahs, more averis, what's machriyas akaf? Blaz ben arach, right? Whatever's on one side of the kaf, that's always going to determine, that always determines what a person is. But the truth is, says Rabbi Yisrael, it's obviously not so simple, right? Why is it not so simple? Because there's so many factors that go into every mitzvah that a person does. There's so many factors that go into every avera that a person does. The background of every mitzvah, the background, the context, the person's upbringing, the person's matzav that he was in when he did a certain avera, the person's matzav that he was in when he did a certain mitzvah. There's so many different things that go into calculating and considering exactly what the value of a mitzvah is and what the value of an aver is. And the only one that can figure this out is, like the Rambam says, is the ain't shoiklin ela bedaita shel kel deos. This is such an algorithm that's so complex that the only one that has access to this is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hu ayoidea eich orchen aschuyos negado avoinos. L'shoyne yazov shel Rambam perek gimel hilchas shuva. Because it's so complex. The amount of factors that go into every mitzvah and the amount of factors that go into every aver. Says Rabbi Yisrael, there are many different factors, but let's discuss one. And that is, ze klal gadol b'Torah, l'fum tzara agra. From tzara agra, the more pain that a person has to overcome in order to do a mitzvah, the more schari he's going to get. It's pashut, that's the way it is. The more pain that a person has to get to stop, fight himself from doing an avera, the more schari that he's going to get. So he says, I'll give it to you with a mashal. L'mashal, mishalama be'es achas sha achas. Somebody sits down and he learns for 1 hour. And at the time that he sat down to learn for that hour, his mind was perfectly lucid. He was perfectly clear. He was in the best place. There was nothing about his nature that was fighting it. The learning went so geschmack, it was so geschmiert, everything was so easy. You could have that same person at a different time. He sits down to learn for an hour. It was literally the opposite. It was the most impossible thing for him to do, to learn for an hour. His tsar was incredible. He said the two acts were identical. In both cases, the person learned for an hour. But the context was completely different. There's no two mitzvahs that are the same. There's no 2 hours of learning that are the same. There's no 2 dafim that are the same. Nothing, because there's so much that goes into everything. Specifically in this piece, Rabbi Yisrael says, the idea of l'fum tzara agra, the more tzara that a person finds himself in, the more of a situation he's going to be. So listen to this punchline. Says Rabbi Yisrael, I'm skipping a few pages now. Says Rabbi Yisrael, we know that the Yidden were in Mitzrayim. And then they started davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when they davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were taken out of Mitzrayim. The Pasuk says in Parashat Shmoyitz, Vayhi bayomim harabim ahim, vayomas melech Mitzrayim. Vayeyonchu b'nei Yisrael, mino avoido, vayizaku. And they davened to Hashem, vatal shavosam elo elohikim mino avoido. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered that tefillah, and they were saved. The Yidden left Mitzrayim because of tefillah. They daven and Hashem listened to their tefillah. Parshas Va'era. Hashem tells Moshe, V'gam ani shomati es nakas b'nei Yisrael, Hashem Mitzrayim avida Moshe, ve'eskar es brisni. They had the schus of tefillah. Says Rabbi Yisrael, the tefillah that the Yidden daven in Mitzrayim, it wasn't tefillahs with kavanas arid. It's not what it was. It was a krecht. That's what it was. It was Vayeyonchu b'nei Yisrael menu avoida. Zem gekrecht. Vayizaku. And they just started screaming. And you know what happened? Valtal shavosim esol elo elokim menu avoida. But that krecht, that tefillah, ushered a geula. He said, how's that possible? He says, you know why? Because it's lefum tzara agra. When a person is going through a situation and he's living in a world of ayimaru es chayeyem, and he's dealing with such adversity where every little act of concentration, there's nothing easy. A klein tefillah, a shtikel krecht, could be marishay lomois, and it could be more valuable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the greatest tefillahs with the greatest kavanas that comes from the biggest tzaddik in the world. That's what Rabbi Yisrael says. So he says that the Yidden in Mitzrayim, they were in such a bad situation. The world, they were in the concentration camps. I mean, we can visualize that a little bit. That's what they were in. And they got up and they realized that even though the world seems dark and there's a hest upon them and nothing makes any sense, but they have a Messiah from an Elta Zeda, from Avinu and Yitzchak and Yaakov, and they know that there's a God that created the world and this is all about Him, and He just wants them, us, to serve Him better. And that's what they did. Vayeyonchu b'nei Yisrael menu avoida, vayizaku, they dived into HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a real earnest moment, vatal shavasam elohikim menu avoida. Said Rabbi Yisrael, the reason the tefillah worked is because it was vayimaru as chayeyim. The reason the tefillah worked because the situation was so bad. If the matzah wasn't so bad, the tefillah wouldn't have worked the way it did. The reason it worked the way it worked is precisely because the world was falling apart. That's what Rabbi Yisrael says. And he says that comes out the murr. The vayimaru es chayev is kufa what led to the geula. Because without maru, there's no geula. You know why? Because the schusim, the Yidden, wouldn't need it to creep out of Mitzrayim at that point. It wouldn't have been possible. The reason it was possible is because they were able to get away with a little bit. The reason is because the matzav was so terrible, so impossible, that even a little something, a shah achas of Torah, had such value. It was incredible. It's amazing. Rabbi Yisrael saying it. This is chizik. By the way, what was the punch? What was the nimshal? This is all the mashal in Rabbi Yisrael. What was the nimshal? Learn Musar, right? Obviously, this is what it was. He wrote this drasha. This wasn't a Shabbos Hagadol drasha. This was Erev Rosh Hashanah Tafrei Shchef. Tafresh Chaf, in the year 1860. This is Rabbi Saul. So he wrote this Erev Rosh Hashanah. That's how he signs off this letter. Erev Rosh Hashanah. And he said, you see, Musar, it's not easy to learn Musar, but you learn a little bit of Musar, it can be Gaval. Rabbi Saul, the Nimshal, was always Musar. But the point is that the Mashal was, is that if a person is in a situation where he has to overcome adversity, the schar that he can get, even for the little bit that he does, can be qualitatively so much more valuable than even doing more quantity in a different time. So I was thinking, maybe that's the tiefkeit of the Koshei Hashivut. It's not that the Yidden got 400 years bottled into such a short period of time. What's the grace of chesed in that? I'm not sure what the big chesed would be. But it could be where the tiefkeit is that Hashem made a situation that was so, so intense. It was so intense and said, here's an opportunity. Right now, if you can overcome this Nisayan, Vatal Shavasam, Elevayizaku, and you can daven, that Schus will be so powerful, it'll allow you to come out of the Gula. But the point is, this is just a long-winded way of saying something that the Svarim HaKadoshim say. And that is that the Murr, the Vayimaru es Chayeyim, played a tremendous role in the formation of Klal Yisrael. Without the Vayimaru es Chayeyim, we would have never witnessed everything that we witnessed, Asar Nisim. We would have never witnessed Kriyas Yamsuf. Without the Vayimaru es Chayeyim, there may be no Jewish nation. Without the Koshei HaShibud, it could be we wouldn't have had a schus to come out of Mitzrayim. The whole schus is that the Shibud was so kosher, it was so intense, there was such a Koshei HaShibud, and Afal Pikein, the Yidin Davin, Vayizaku, Vayishma Lekimis Nakosam, Vayizkar Lekimis Brisai, so it was in that schus that they were able to get out of Mitzrayim. Parenthetically, just to digress for one second, my good friend Levi Chomsky showed me in the Siddur Ishei Yisrael, from the Gra. So this is in the Siach Yitzchak, the Pirish from Rab Meltzin. So we say in Psukei de Zimra, V'chore Sime Abris, Lassay Sitzeret Saknani, Yachiti Amoiri Vaprizi, Vayevusi Vagurgashi, Lassay Slezaroi, Vatokem Es Dverach Yitzad Gadol, Vateres Oni Avisenu B'mitzrayim, Ve'etsh Zakosam Shamato Al Yamsuf. So the Siach Yitzchak in the Gra Siddur, Isha Yisrael asks, why is it Vateres Oni Avisenu B'mitzrayim, Vesakosam Shamat Al Yamsuf? The Torah talks about the tefillas that the Yidden davened in the Mitzrayim also. It wasn't just the tefillas in the Yamsuf. Parshas Shmos, Parshas Va'eret, that's before the Yamsuf. And the pasuk talks about Vayishma Likimis Nakosam, Vayishka Likimis Brisai. So why is it Vesakosam Shamat Al Yamsuf? So Rav Meltzin said that it's true, the tefillas that the Yidden davened in the Mitzrayim were gevaldik. That started the Gula. Oh, but it wasn't on the same level as the tefillas by Kriyas Yamsuf. Why? So he says, because by Kriyas Yamsuf, the Yidden were Moise Nefesh. They jumped into the Yam. He says, when a Yid is Moise Nefesh, he has a tremendous schus and a koyach to daven. A person who finds himself in a situation where he has to be misgaber and commit an act of mysterious nefesh, it's not easy. But he's going to control himself. He's going to be maver al midois, whatever his mysterious nefesh is. But when a person is moise nefesh, he has a tremendous schus of tefillah. So he said, as great as the tefillahs of the Yidden were when they were in Mitzrayim, vayimoru es chayeyim, and still they were able to daven, like Reb Shlomo Salanta said, v'esnakosam shamat al yamsuf, when Nachshon and Aminadav jumped into the yamsuf, and the Yidden were willing to be moise nefesh, they're willing to jump in, the Mesiris Nefesh gave the Yidden such a school or such a schus that a tefillah at a time of Mesiris Nefesh is incredible. A mitzvah, a tefillah at a time of adversity has a whole different kayach. Yisrael Salanter. A tefillah at a time of Mesiris Nefesh is nachgresser. That's Reb Meltzin in Siach Yitzchak. But either way, it comes out that the Vayimaru es Chayeyim, even though to us, of course, what was the Vayimaru es Chayeyim? It was terrible. It was the most horrible thing in the world. But on a deeper level, the Vayimaru es Chayeyim is what brought in the Geula. And Vayimaru es Chayeyim is what led to all the sweetness and all the Geula and all the Madrigos and all the Kedusha that is Klal Yisrael that was ultimately going to come. Because without the Vayimaru es Chayeyim, without even the Koshei HaShibud, Klal Yisrael would have never became what they were able to come. I saw in the Amshinova Haggadah, which was written by Rabbi Yosef Arinster, the Rav Alexander Shlita. So he wrote that he brings from the Vurke Rebbe, that the Vurke Rebbe used to say, now what's the trop on Vayimaru es Chayeyim? So there's a well-known word from the Vilna Gaon. Now Vayimaru es Chayeyim is Kadma Va'azla. Vayimaru es Chayeyim, right, it's Kadma Va'azla. So he said, because the Vayimaru es Chayeyim, the Koshei HaShibud, it was Kadma Va'azla. It's what brought the Geula. Because the Geula came because of Vayimaru, but the Vurke Rebbe said a different akuda. The Burka Rebbe said that vayimaru es chayeim vaykadma va'azla. It's a freilich hanigin, right? Kadma v'yayitza, especially it's like a shmak hanigin. It should be the eicha hanigin, right? Hasher haglam Yerushalayim. Like that's what you would think it should be. Vayimaru es chayeim. In the Megillah, you have three psukim that talk about, right? All of a sudden you start crying and it's bechias, and that's important when half the place is drunk. Here you have in Parshas Shmos vayimaru es chayeim. These are the most bitter psukim, and vayimaru es chayeim mezinkt vayimaru es. So the Burka Rebbe used to say, yeah, mezinkt vayimaru es chayeim, because it's true in real time vayimaru es chayeim. The world was coming up, but eventually it was a chol bnei Yisrael hayarben myshvoisim, and the Yidden realized that the vayimaru es chayeim was what made Klal Yisrael, and without vayimaru es chayeim there wouldn't have been a Klal Yisrael. So mezinkt vayimaru es chayeim, because at the end it's a kadma v'azla, it's a freilich hanigin, because at the end we realize vayimaru es chayeim is a good thing. Maybe that's the tifkeit in using sweet lettuce for marer. You sit down by the Leila Seyde, you eat marer. And the marer is zecher to vayimaru es chayeim. That's true. That's what it's about. And that's why marer has to be bit to the green side again, obviously. You have to use a min that's marer. But at the same time, maybe there's an idea that we eat the marer when it's still sweet. Because like this, it's efshel l'kayim shneihem. Because on the one hand, you're taking a bitter marer to remember it was very bitter. It was vayimaru es chayeim. And ein mikra yoytza midei pshutai. But at the same time, there's an idea that we understand now at the Leil HaSeder that because of vayimaru es chayeim, we merited all this geula and all this shefa and all the madrigas of Klai. So it all came about because of vayimaru es chayeim. And you know how we remember that? You take a bite into the marer, you know what you realize? It's not so bitter. It's actually pretty sweet. You know why it's sweet? Because there's a sweetness in the marah. Because at the end of the day, it's hard to recognize that. And, you know, in most cases, we'll have to wait, you know, until Umar Aret's day for us to realize the sweetness in the marah. But this was a time where there was such a clarity. There was such a hiskalos, such a clarkai. And they realized the sweetness in the marah. That's something we remember as well. You don't dip an apple in the honey for marah, because that would obviously be tipping the scale too much in the other direction. But to take a min that's marer, something that if it sits in the ground a little bit longer, it's safely marer, like the Yerushalmi says. But you bite into it and you say, you know something? This is not so bad. This is actually pretty sweet. That captures the depth and the complexity of the vayimaru es chayeim. Because on the one hand, vayimaru es chayeim was very, very bitter. But at the same time, there was a sweetness in that bitter. Because through the vayimaru es chayeim, through the koshi ashibut, we became a nation. And maybe that's symbolized by using something that's bitter, but then biting into it and realizing, you know something? It's actually not so bitter.